and composer Peter Gregson joins me on Classical Conversations for the details on his Composer Portrait album, which blends beautiful singing cello lines with atmospheric synthesized sonorities. This is a collection of 9 modern songs without words. First single, Vision, is out already, with the rest of the vignettes to follow in April of 2025. It is such a pleasure to meet you, Peter. Thank you for taking some time to chat with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, given that you lent your name to the album, is it fair to say that this is musically, unequivocally, a picture of you as an artist?
Yes, I think so. It's the closest to the music and the sound that I hear. I think I love the studio production world, and I, you know, obviously as a cellist, like, you spend your whole life learning to play the instrument or trying to play the instrument, but, you know, you also spend your life, your career, trying to present that the best you can. And, you know, there's always something that, you know, the room was too boomy or the microphone was too tinny or whatever. There's always something, and this feels, you know, like all the stars aligned.
Did the concept for this, did that evolve, you know, slowly over time, or was there a particular incident or experience that spurred it on?
So I remember Mendelssohn wrote these beautiful songs without words, and it was this sort of romantic notion, you know, that you could write sort of abstract melodic music and it not be tied to a sonata structure or some kind of large long form work. And I just loved the idea. You know, the cello lends itself so beautifully to that kind of vocal range. It feels like an extension of the human voice. You know, it fits in that kind of world. And I always loved it. And it's sort of haunted me, you know, this sort of songs without words thing. And as a cellist, selfishly, I think the cello is a great instrument for this. It feels very relatable somehow. You know, it's not too sprightly and it's not too sad. It's sort of right there in the middle. It's the autumn. You know, it's the fall of the sound world. It's not too hot, not too cold. And I always wanted to explore that theme, and this felt like the time to do it.
With your modern vision of this song without words, is the collection likewise abstract, or is it pointing us towards any particular imagery or narrative?
Yeah, you know, that sort of actually leads onto sort of the broader concept behind it, that, I mean, there is a narrative and there is meaning to the music, but I've always shied away from feeling the need to tell people what my music is about. I love leaving that space for people to develop their own relationship with it and take ownership of that. And, you know, if you're told what to think, what to feel, like, there's no space to kind of develop new thoughts and new feelings with it. And I think that's how we, you know, that's why people return to look at paintings in museums. It's why people, you know, want to continue having conversations with people that they know, that they love, you know, that you want to kind of grow together. And I think, how do you relate to a piece of music if it's like this one thing perfectly unchanged forever? It's like, I love the idea that the listener's interpretation of it actually is part of that process, you know, that you can hear it new in your life as your life develops. And yeah, so yes, there is meaning to the music as I wrote it, but no, it shall not be relayed. And I think that's fine. You know, I like, that's what I like in work. When I'm listening to music, I don't read other people's liner notes. I don't actually want to know the process. I just want to be able to sit and listen to it and make my own decisions.
So this is really like an invitation from you to savor the possibilities and the openness and really just enjoy the adventure of it all.
Yeah, that's a very nicely put way. Yeah, exactly. It's an invitation.
I was curious when I was previewing the album, I noticed for one piece in particular, I think it was Horizon, there was a sleep edit. Is there any, do you feel that some of the sonorities are particularly conducive to sleep?
I think it always felt like quite a meditative piece to me, and the sleep edit just removes some of the peaks and troughs of it. It removes some of the dynamic range. The melody in that does get quite peaky. It gets quite kind of involved, but it's a piece where the voice, the melody kind of takes off, but the backing elements sort of stay. So there is a kind of perspective shift, kind of like someone's like, you know, shouting their heart out on top of a mountain, and you look out and all you're seeing below you is the kind of, you relax your eyes and it's all green and blue. You can't necessarily say what tree it is, what plant it is, but you know that they are trees and plants. It's just a wash of color behind, you know, in the distance. And so I was just trying to kind of, in the sleep edit, just remove the shouting, I suppose.
Regarding the process as you sculpted some of these atmospheres, I understand that you built your own synthesizer with samplers and sequencers, but no oscillators. And I wondered if you could demystify some of that terminology, especially for some of us who may be less familiar with the electronic music side of things.
So in a typical synthesizer, it's sort of got physics in it. So an oscillator is a wave shape, so let's say a sine wave, and you use a keyboard or similar thing to control the voltage of it, and that changes the pitch. So you end up with sounds that are just made of electronic circuits, and it sounds like electronic music because it is music made from an electronic circuit. With an oscillator, you then have ways of shaping that and controlling the sound. For this record, I wanted to be able to shape and control the sound of my cello. So instead of having an oscillator in the, it's called a modular synthesizer. So rather than having an oscillator, I have a microphone input. So the cello goes in, and then I can manipulate and control the sound. I can extract frequencies from the cello to create in the second track on the record called Prism, there's a what sounds like a drum kit doing this kind of percussive, slow thing. It's actually all made from the cello. So the entire thing in that track is one cello. A lot of the low, subby synth sounds, this kind of also is the cello. And it's got an amazing harmonic range. And sometimes you just need ways of manipulating that and orchestrating that in pulling out these things. So, you know, all that equipment, all those sort of techniques and tools and ideas exist in electronic music, in pop music, and this is just pulling it together into kind of this sort of contemporary classical world. And rather than controlling a sine wave to sound like a big synth line, it's using it to control a cello to make it kind of sparkle or shimmer or whatever.
Do you feel that in connecting the cello with the synthesizer that you were able to explore the cello's full expressive potential with some special techniques?
Yeah, I think it gave me the ability, it gave me the space to focus on the cello as the kind of protagonist and then not feel the need to do anything extra with the kind of lead voice and have that just sit sort of presented in its own place. I love a good cooking analogy, and I suppose it's like making the sauce from, you know, a steak, but also by the same kind of gesture, you know, when you're making pasta, very few people talk about the water that was boiled off, you know, or the water content boiled off in a tomato to make a sauce. But it's absolutely essential to the success of the dish that there was water, right? And it's the same with this, you know, making kind of an ambient pad, you don't need to hear all of it. You need to hear the bit that matters. But the whole thing had to exist at one point so that you could reduce it. And this way of working with the modular synthesizer is a very tactile, very slow process. And it's a very good way of kind of reducing things and exploring them like that, and, you know, removing certain frequencies or adding certain things. And so, yeah, it's everything's sort of derived from the solo cello, really, is what I'm saying. Everything started full fat at one point, and then it whittles away and reduces over time.
If I could circle back to something you said right at the very beginning about the stars aligning, even from the space and the microphone, the whole environment, what was the environment that you recorded in, and how did the acoustics contribute to the overall effect?
Yeah, so I wanted to record the cello like a big sort of anthemic vocal sound. So in a big room, but without a big washy church reverb. And I've always loved Peter Gabriel. I've always thought Peter Gabriel's vocals always sound amazing, and he's got a great voice, and it always sounds really inviting. And he happens to have the most astonishing studio out in the middle of a field in England. So we went out there to record, and it's just this incredible big room. It does what it says on the tin. You know, it's a big room floating on a pond, and it's got this big, inspiring sound to it. It's like you play in there and you're like, yeah, this sounds like a Peter Gabriel record. No, but I really wanted to bring that kind of human, like, vocal quality, not treat it like a string instrument. I wanted to treat it like a voice. So went and recorded it like a voice.
Well, we are so looking forward to the release, and I've been speaking with Peter Gregson on his self-titled album for cello and synthesizer. As a reminder to our listeners, you can catch a preview with the single Vision, but that full picture, that'll be streamable as of April 2025. Thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you for having me.